a firm foundation, we could go sing that song to our kids, and then we leave that song nervous or worried about what's going on around us, not knowing that we just sung a song about having a firm foundation in Jesus Christ. And sometimes basics, actually let me take that back, basics are what win in life. And you're like, well, what are you talking about? Well, we're a sports family. So you accomplish the basics, you will win. I was going to bring this up for March Madness, but this year's March Madness is actually a different March Madness than it's ever been in the past, right? And the previous March Madness was whose brackets are going to win in the NCAA basketball tournament. This year, March Madness was which grandma is going to beat the other grandma fighting for the bread in the bread aisle. That's madness, March Madness. I don't know if you saw those videos. People are panicking. They're running through aisles fighting each other for cereal and bread and rice and beans. March Madness. Well, so the March Madness I'm referring to is not 2020 March Madness, but the preceding 50 years of March Madness. So basketball. In relation to basketball, I was watching an NBA championship finals. And they're in the huddle. They have a mic in the huddle. I don't remember what teams were playing, but they had a mic in the huddle. And the coach gets them all together. These guys are paid millions of dollars a year to play a game. And I'm thinking, okay, what insight is this coach going to give to them? And what does he say? He says, block out, get offensive rebounds, and move the ball around. And I said, I quit playing basketball in the eighth grade. But I'm pretty sure in the third grade, when I started playing basketball, my third grade basketball coach said, block out, get offensive rebounds, and move the ball around. I'm sitting there thinking, it's the exact same thing. So why is it so important that these multimillionaires who are playing a game for a living, whose livelihood is based off of winning those games, why is it that they're doing just the basics? Their coach is saying, get back to the basics, because basics wins games. In football, if you keep up with football much, typically the team with the most turnovers is going to be the one that loses. That's a basic. Hold on to the ball. Don't turn it over. So we get back to the basics a lot of times outside of church, and then whenever we get back in the church, sometimes we want to hear these really super in-depth lessons about something that's some real deep theological thinking, or we want to dive into the book of Revelation and see exactly what it means, or we want to go all the way back into the Old Testament and see why God destroyed Balaam. All of these different things that we want to get into, and there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we just need to get back to the basics. So when you feel like you're standing on shaky ground, or you have shaky legs, you need to get to solid ground. Back in 1998, in Central America, there was a hurricane that hit, Hurricane Mitch. It came up to the U.S., and it was a tropical storm when it actually got to the U.S., so we haven't heard a whole lot about it up here. But down in Honduras, it actually ended up killing, or in Central America, it killed between 11,000 and 18,000 people. The reason the number is so varied is because they knew within that first week that 11,000 people had died. There was 8,000 to 10,000 people that were missing, and they never found them. So that's why that number is so spread out, is they don't know if they were somewhere else or what was going on. You had hundreds of thousands of people that were displaced from their homes. Hundreds of thousands of people who no longer had a home to go to. If you look at this next slide here, you'll see the picture on the left. It's a lady and a small child sleeping in rubble. There's not a house there. It's just rubble. That's where their house was at. And so that's why they're there. The picture on the right is kind of like the picture on the previous slide, to where she had a house that was actually built out of concrete, but it's tipped over, falling, and it slid down the mountain. Now, the thing about Honduras when this hit back in 1998, I would say two-thirds of the house had either a dirt floor or a concrete slab that was 3 to 6 inches deep. For those of you in construction know that 3 to 6 inches is not enough for a house. The capital city of Tegucigalpa lives, it's a bowl. It's just one large bowl. And all the big buildings, all the major structures are in the very middle of that bowl. All of the houses, the farther out you get from that bowl, the poorer the families are. So they don't have concrete foundations. When you're living on $5 a day, you don't have enough to pay for a concrete floor. So they had dirt floors. And if you could pay for a concrete floor, you're saying, give me the bare minimum because I can't afford to pay more than that. So these rains fell and you had inch after inch of rainfall. And it slid these hundreds of thousands of houses off the outsides of the bowl and brought them all the way down to the middle. There are pictures of some of the streets in Honduras loaded feet high, 3 to 4 feet high, with debris and mud. These are people's houses from kilometers away. They didn't have a firm foundation. The houses that actually had deep-rooted, firm foundations up on the mountain, most of those stayed in place. But the rest of them were just washed away. So we hear this story about having a firm foundation. We hear the wise man built his house upon a rock. And sometimes it's just a kid's song to us, but other times we actually need to put it into real meaning. And we need to figure out who is our foundation in our lives. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am, or that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I highlighted the word this rock. I know some people kind of get off and have a misunderstanding of what does it mean on this rock. Well, he's not referring to a person. He's not saying, upon you, my rock, I will build this church. He's not saying, upon him, I will build my church. He's saying, upon this rock. What is this rock? Well, if we go back to the previous one I had highlighted, he's basing it off of the confession that Peter made that Christ is the Son of the living God. So that's the foundation of the church. I think I put the same slide in there twice. That's kind of an oops. Oh, well. So if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11, and it continues on, it talks about that there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is Jesus Christ. And then it continues on and it talks about that if on this foundation we build with straw or we build with hay or we build with wood or we build with gold or we build with fine metals, that foundation will be tested with fire. But Christ says, even if what you have on that foundation is burnt up, you are still based on my foundation, Jesus Christ. And you will be saved in the end. What I find a lot of people doing nowadays is their foundation, they kind of have it backwards. They're building their foundation of their IRA, their retirement account. Then they put Jesus on top of the retirement account. Or They pit their family, their own family, which is a really good thing, but they pit it as their foundation, and they pit Jesus on top of their family, on top of that foundation. They pit their job, they pit their schooling, they pit their education on top of, I mean, they pit that as their foundation, and they pit Jesus and the church on top of that. I've got news for you. Whenever the torments come, the rains start falling, and you lose that job, and that's your foundation, you're swept miles away with it, and your house is destroyed, and you along with it. If you have your retirement account right now, and I'm not talking, I understand that there's panic and there's stress with people in their retirement accounts right now. They've lost lots of money recently, and they're sitting there thinking, I was going to retire, or I was going to use this money for this, or I was going to use my money for that, and they're stressed out, they have shaky legs, they don't know what to do. If that's your foundation, you should be worried. But guess what? As Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that's not our foundation. Our foundation is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. That's our foundation. If we lose our IRA, yeah, that's not cool. And I'm not going to be happy about it, and I'm going to be a little stressed. But guess what? So what? I have eternal life in heaven, living in a house of gold. If my foundation is my education, and I'm like, I can't go to school right now, and I'm feeling like I'm going to be way behind on this or on that, and I'm getting super stressed out, or I don't get to go to graduation this year, I understand that stinks. That is not cool. Or I don't get to play my baseball championship game this year because we're not doing that this year. Frustrating. Not cool at all. But guess what? That's not our foundation. Our foundation is Jesus Christ. Yeah, we can say that's not cool, that stinks, then let's move on. Because we as Christians should be always grateful to have our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has saved us from this wretched world that we live in. So some of you are sitting there thinking, okay, I understand that Jesus Christ is offering a foundation. He's offering this solid ground, but why would I want Christ as my foundation? Well, we have a few lengthy passages we're going to read here. So stick with me as we get through a few of these. All three of them are going to be in the Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in his tent, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the same spirit as a guarantee. For we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. For we are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 18. But we have this treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always caring about in this body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manufactured in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believed and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all the things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose hope. We do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, those are eternal. 1 Corinthians 15:20-22. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Let's move on to chapter 50-58. Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible has put on the incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, church, a lot of the world is on shaky ground right now. But we have a foundation that is immovable. We have a foundation that is not going to shake. It's not going to give way. It's not going to break. If we lay a foundation other than Jesus Christ, yes, you have reasons to be worried. If your foundation is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty Living God, the one who came down here to save us from this corruption, to give us these bodies of eternal life, if that is your foundation, we have nothing to worry about. We'll see the world around us washing away while we're on the foundation of Jesus. And I encourage you to try to bring as many people with you as possible. You see other people's foundations starting to wipe out from underneath them. Their IRA accounts are wiped out. Bring them to your foundation. You see someone who's panicking and struggling because of their schooling or because they're losing a job. And their foundation is getting swept out from underneath them. They don't know what to do. Bring them along with you. Bring them to your foundation. The only true foundation, which is Jesus Christ. I'd like to finish off with a couple of points of reflection. I was going to read through this. I'm just going to let it play, and I'll let you read through it. And I want you to do some reflections to yourself out there. Is this me? Am I struggling? Is there other people I can help out? So as you read through these, please just go ahead, do some self-reflection as we go through these reading or these phrases. Church, this light affliction, which is just for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. If you forgot that, and you need someone to speak with, or you never knew that, and you want to find out how to get that, we have people here at this congregation that we can study with you, we can pray with you, we can give you words of encouragement. And we hope that you'll reach out to us if you are struggling in this time, if you're looking for that foundation. So remember, don't get discouraged. Don't feel in despair, because we have a foundation that is immovable. So until the time we actually can meet in person again, I thank you for your time today, and God be with you.